Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. I'm beginning at verse 8. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. I plead with you, brothers, become like me, for I became like you. You have done me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn, but instead you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Jesus Christ himself. So what has happened to all your joy? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us so that you may be zealous for them. It's fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, not just when I am with you. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I'm perplexed about you. I'm going to leave it there. It's a rather strange Bible reading, isn't it? It's not one of those joyful things. It's almost a critical passage within this letter to the Galatians. I don't know about you, but during the summer months, normally in the UK, we all look hopefully to the weather forecast. We're all looking for days out and holidays. And what do holidays and days out rely on? Well, they rely on decent weather to be relaxable and enjoyable. And so most importantly, we look for those nice weather symbols where it's a white fluffy cloud with little bits of orange sticking out the side. Or even better, one big orange circle. That's good news for us. Because actually, we all love for a summer in the sun. It makes a difference. And yet today, I want to change one letter of that whole phrase, summer in the sun. Because by doing so, we get a whole new meaning for what the holiday season can be for us. And that's to change the U to an O. Summer in the sun. Today I want us to consider what it means to have a summer in the sun. And when I consider what it means to be in the sun, my mind immediately turns to a passage of scripture earlier on in Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't know about you, but when I read this, Paul speaks very clearly of Christ living in him. It's there for all to see. And so this idea of the sun being in us is there. To help me understand this a little better, though, I've read to you Galatians chapter 4, verse 12 this morning. And that's a very different passage of Scripture. And if we look at the context of this passage here in chapter 4, what Paul is concerned about is that Christian teachers have come amongst this young church that he set up in Galatia, and they were actually teaching some very unhelpful things. Paul had taught the Galatians that salvation was by the unmerited grace of God, and that was received by placing our faith in the work of Jesus on the cross. That was the gospel. That's what he preached. But others had come along after that. They weren't denying that essential truth. However, what they were doing, they were trying to persuade the Galatian followers to also follow the law of Moses in order to earn God's favor. So instead of a salvation based upon grace through faith, they were trying to say that you need to adhere also to the law of Moses. It's quite ironic when you think about it for Paul, because Paul was a Jew and he'd become a Gentile, as it were, to win the Gentile Galatians for Christ. But now they were trying to become Jews in order to win God's favor. And so we get this passage of scripture where he's actually writing to them and saying, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? You see, God doesn't call us to a life that's characterized by chores and rituals. That's not the life of a follower. God desires that we have a daily relationship with him where we can experience his presence and where we can trust him for wisdom, for courage, and for strength in all situations. With every step we take, with every decision we make, with every conversation that we have, with every thought we even entertain, the Lord wants to glorify himself through you and me. He doesn't want chores and rituals. He desires to shine in our lives. And he desires to shine in our lives with love, with joy, with peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But he wants to shine in us in such a way that he illuminates within us our unique talents, our unique traits, our unique personality as we walk in obedience with us. That's the kind of relationship that God wants. And so Paul reminds the Galatians here in chapter 4, verse 12. I plead with you, brothers, become like me, for I have become like you. He reminds them that the very fact he didn't depend on his Jewish roots to make him saved. And because he didn't, they shouldn't either. They should ignore these false teachers. And they should become just as he is, free in Christ. You know, there's an important verse here in this chapter 4, and I believe it's verse 19. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth. I'm sure there's many ladies in the room that will want to disagree with him about knowing what childbirth's all about. But he goes on, I am in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Till Christ is formed in you. You know, I think chapters 2 and 4 are very much linked. This whole idea of no longer living but Christ living in me, and this one, Christ being formed in us, are connected. The American theologian John Piper says this, when Paul says in verse 12, become as I am, he means, let Christ be formed in you. And my evidence for this is Galatians 2:20, where Paul tells us how he understands his own life. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. According to Piper, he says this, what is clear from this verse is that when Paul says, become like me, he means die like I have died and live by faith in the Son of God, so that it is in his life that you are shaped and formed who you are. That's the main point of the paragraph. Become as I am. Have Christ formed in you. So there's the question then. If Paul is saying to the Galatians and saying to us, have Christ formed in you, how do we do that? How is Christ formed in us? Many of you might be familiar with the writings of John Ortberg. John Ortberg was part of Willow Creek for many years, but then went on his own way and set his own church up in the United States of America. He's written many great books. And in one of his books, he says this: spiritual formation is for everyone. Just as there is an outer you that's been formed and shaped all the time, like it or not, by accident or on purpose, so there is an inner you. You have a spirit, and it's constantly being shaped and tugged at by what you hear, by what you watch, by what you say and what you read and what you think and experience. That's so true. Every single one of us is spiritual. We have a spirit, and that spirit within is being constantly pulled, influenced, cajoled, talked to, directed, influenced. And it's important that we recognize that there's a side to us that is being constantly influenced by outside things. And therefore, it's important to ensure that the things that do influence us, the things that we do hear, the things that we do watch, the things that we do say, the things that we do think are of Christ. Wow. Now there's a challenge. How is Christ formed in you and in your life? Well, it's really quite simple. The Son of God comes and he shapes us from within. If we rely on him to come and shape us, the Son of God can only take shape in those who abandon themselves to him. Christ can only form himself in the lives of those who let go of all of the forms of life in which they've shaped their own. And Christ takes shape in a life that's willing to become putty in his hands. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? You have to do nothing. You just let God do it all. I'm a great fan of Dallas Willard. I read some of his books. He's a good Bible teacher. And Dallas Willard explains there's a little problem, though, with this kind of thinking. And he says this: we have a problem today in evangelical circles. We're not only saved by grace, but we're also paralyzed by it. I'm Southern Baptist, and we often preach to you for an hour, telling you you can do nothing to be saved, and then sing to you for 45 minutes, trying to get you to do something to be saved. Now, isn't that confusing? However, spiritual formation is something that requires us to take wise steps in accomplishing it. The old man, the old woman cannot be put off, and the new man, new woman put on, unless I do something. And more than that, unless I do the right things. This summer, as you jet off on your holidays or go away for a few weeks or do whatever you do during these quieter summer months, I want to challenge you. And I want to challenge you to do a new thing that will allow Christ to shape your life. I want to challenge you to do something that will allow Christ to shape your life. You know, the idea of Christ being formed in us, of Christ living in us, is not always easy to grasp. I like to think of it quite simply: to live a life in the Son is to have him influence our thoughts, our desires, our affections, our aims, and our pursuits. And therefore, we need to make sure that we're doing the right things to make sure he's doing that. Who's actually responsible for our spiritual growth? It's simple, we are. is the responsibility of the church to create an environment where growth can take place, but the responsibility of growing ourselves spiritually is ours. The DC is not responsible for my spiritual growth. Equally so, I'm not responsible for the Sergeant Major's spiritual growth. He is. I can do all that I can to create an environment for it, but at the end of the day, it's up to him to want to grow and form and become Christ. Friends, as the summer holiday season starts, I hope you're going to enjoy your summer in the sun. But I also hope you're going to enjoy your summer in the sun, in Christ, allowing him to form you so that you will be able to say, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. As we come to the end of our meeting today, I just want to leave you with that challenge. What are you going to do to have a summer in the sun? What are you going to actually do to allow Christ to form in you? There's a lovely song that we sing sometimes, and we're going to sing it at the end of our meeting to allow us some reflection time before we all dash off. And it simply says, beautiful Lord, wonderful Saviour, I know for sure all my days are held in your hand, crafted in your perfect plan. You're going to form me. You can form me. You can create in me the life of Christ. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Melt me, mold me, break me, fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Paul was so keen to tell the Galatians, it's not about chores and ritual. It's about spiritual formation. It's about Christ being formed in you. What are you going to do today? What am I going to do today to make that a reality? Trisha's going to help us at the piano as we sing together. And we're going to reflect as we sing together this beautiful song. And if it means that actually in your reflection you need to make a commitment to do something this summer, to have a summer in the sun, then make that commitment. Knowing that he will meet you where your commitment is and make himself known to you in these days. Come, give yourself in spiritual formation. Open yourself to want to live the life of Christ and have the life of Christ within as we sing together. Thank you.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Saviour, I know for sure all my days are held in your hand. Crafted in your perfect plan, you gently call me.
As the music plays, let's close our eyes. Are you going to have a summer in the sun? Are you going to have a summer in the sun? What are you going to do to allow Christ to spiritually form within you? Are you willing to put yourself as putty in his hands so that he can direct, guide every thought, act, word? How's he going to influence you these few months and weeks in the middle of the year? Together. Father God, in these moments, that's quite a challenge that Paul gave to the Galatians, reminding them that salvation was by grace through faith, not through chores, not through rituals, not through acts. And this morning we remind ourselves each and every one of us has a spiritual being, and it's constantly being influenced. And Lord, today we want to say that we want it to be influenced for good. We want it to be influenced by Christ. And we would want that, Jesus, you would shine in our lives with your love, with your joy, with your patience, your kindness, your goodness, your faithfulness, your gentleness. We would ask that you would come in such a way that our daily relationship with you is one where we can experience your presence and trust you for wisdom, for courage, for strength. That every step that we take and every decision we make, every conversation we have and every thought that we entertain, God, you will be glorified through it. Wow, Lord, that's quite a commitment. And so just now in these quiet moments at the end of our meeting as we pray, we just recommit ourselves to wanting to pursue a summer in the sun. And by sun we mean S-O-N. A summer where we recognise the beautiful freedom of Christ that can live within us and that we can experience so freely. So Lord, in these quiet moments, may we determine that as we go from this place, as we enjoy maybe some weeks away on holiday or something like that, that you will indeed be there, forming us, making us and moulding us in your spiritual image. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.